The young director Shane Meadows sets his low-budget films in the dried-up mining towns of the British Midlands, where he grew up. His latest, Once Upon a Time in the Midlands, has gotten critical attention here. But film critic David Edelstein says the film's great performances aren't enough to carry the film.
The joke of the British comedy Once Upon a Time in the Midlands is the way it gives middle-class life a whiff of a Sergio Leone epic western. Bingo parlors and dumpy pubs become, in a single composition, Wild West saloons. There are brawls over barca loungers, and the music is suddenly twangy, with a lone harmonica and clip-clops. It's fun to see middle-class life on screen, even when it doesn't measure up to our movie myths and turns into a clown show. The sheer novelty of the middle-class milieu on screen can be elating. That might be why the film has gotten rave reviews, when it's actually kind of middling. It's directed by Shane Meadows, whose last two films, 24/7, with Bob Hoskins, and A Room for Romeo Brass, had a semi-documentary style and were low on whimsy. Once Upon a Time in the Midlands is Whimsy City. Its cuteness softens every edge. Meadows' other movies were plainly influenced by his countryman Mike Leigh, but this one comes at middle-class life from the opposite direction. In a Leigh film, the faceless housing developments and identical townhouses grind a person's individuality down. Here, Meadows wants to show that inside those samey houses and uniforms are people styling themselves in hilariously different ways, like the overweight, underemployed chap in the 10-gallon cowboy hat, or the three central characters, played by actors who transcend the movie's predictability through sheer weirdness. First, we meet Shirley, played by Shirley Henderson, who has been corralled to appear on a nationally televised talk show to comment on the strange estrangement of her sister-in-law, Carol, who loves her husband, Charlie, but won't let him live with the family. It's a ruse, though. Shirley's boyfriend, Deck, played by Reese Ifans, shows up to propose marriage on the air, whereupon Shirley gets flustered and says she can't marry him. And far away in Glasgow, her ex-husband, a criminal called Jimmy, played by Robert Carlyle, watches the show and decides to come back to town to reclaim his woman. In this scene, Deck engages in epic self-pity the morning after their nationally televised fiasco.
I know what you're doing, talking about me.
Can we talk, please?
I can't now, Shirley. I'm late for work.
Don't go off like this, eh?
I can't fake it, Shirley. You've wounded me. See, I'm a laughingstock, aren't I?
No, you're not.
Yes, I am, Shirley. Yes, I am.
Come and sit down with me.
Sit down? Sit down in my own house and be laughed at? No way, Shirley. I'm going to work now. At least there I'm going to get a little bit of respect. Have a nice day.
You can hear in that scene the limitations and the charm of the material. On one hand, it's sitcom grandstanding. On the other, Ifans grandstands gloriously. You might remember him and laugh remembering as Hugh Grant's skinny Welsh flatmate in Notting Hill. And if you're lucky, you saw him as a jungle boy turned aristocrat in Charlie Kaufman's Human Nature. Here he's put on weight, and he looks helpless and befuddled in that big new body. He's like a Welsh Fred Gwynne, which isn't a slight, because Gwynne was a great clown. And that voice of Shirley Henderson's, it's magic. She was unforgettable as the junky soprano in Mike Leigh's Topsy Turvy, and she had small parts in Bridget Jones's Diary, and as the ghost in The Girl's Loo in the last Harry Potter movie. And here, she's a dark, squirmy, twittery little thing, a warm-blooded sparrow. As the outlaw ex-husband, who marches through the non-swinging pub door to get her back, Robert Carlyle gives one of his riotously contained performances. This wiry little guy just stands there smoldering in his leather jacket and ponytail and looks like he could rip the head off Arnold Schwarzenegger. I couldn't understand half the dialogue, but I didn't care, because the sounds coming out of the actors' mouths were so funny and expressive. And I love that the violence, just fisticuffs, is shot from a distance to make it look clumsy and idiotic. But the structure of the movie is a mess. The sister-in-law subplot has no follow-through, and it gets more and more humdrum as it goes along. The final showdown between Deck and Jimmy, which should be crazy and scaled big, why else invoke Sergio Leone, is cozy Lifetime TV movie stuff. What happened? I think Meadows tried to find a compromise between his edgy documentary instincts and his desire for a lovable arthouse U.S. hit. so you could call this movie Once Upon a Time in the Middle of the Road.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.